everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this special call with Tony Khan to discuss the upcoming Ring of Honor Final Battle pay-per-view event this Saturday. Just some quick housekeeping in the interest of time and giving everyone opportunities to as many people as possible. We're going to ask that you kindly refrain from asking two-party questions. We have a lot of people on the line here, a lot to talk about today, so we want to get everybody the best chances possible to connect with Tony. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tony now for some opening thoughts, and then we're going to open up the lines for your questions. Tony.
Thank you very much, Jim. Hey, everyone. I really appreciate everyone coming in today. This is a little different. We normally have done these on Thursday, but I thought it would be good to cover the whole week. We have a lot of great wrestling coming this week and a lot of things happening in both AEW and ROH. It's a huge week for us. We have Dynamite tonight on TBS, Rampage Friday on TNT, and then Ring of Honor Final Battle on Saturday afternoon. It's a little bit different trying the show out in the afternoon time slot, and we're excited about that. And there were so many things to cover this week, and I really thought it would be good to talk on Wednesday. And something I wanted to cover, there's been a number of issues that have come up this week, different questions, and one question that we've gotten so much that I thought I should just lead off and talk to you about it is a question about the status of William Regal in AEW and also in Ring of Honor, where he's helped us out. And I thought it would be something good to cover. It's a lot of personal stuff, and I have a ton of respect for William Regal, and that's why I thought it would be good to just talk about it here. To go back and really talk about some of these things, I would go back a few months. You know, these last several months have been crazy, and going back to All Out, you know, obviously there were a lot of things happened coming out of All Out, the fallout. And after that, the next couple of weeks ended up being a really important time for the company. We made a lot of changes on the show. And frankly, it was all hands on deck. And we had to completely overhaul a lot of things. And I was really pleased with the success we had. It ended up being one of our best periods we've ever had for TV ratings, and it was the best run of ratings we've really had all year. And it's not the first time this year we've had to make a lot of changes for different reasons. There have been a number of times this year where things have come up out of our control. And earlier this year, you know, around Double or Nothing and our show at the Forum, those were hugely successful events for us. But then that week, coming out of it, there was some attrition as we had a number of major injuries. And going into Forbidden Door, for example, I was so pleased with how Forbidden Door came out. It was commercially and critically one of the most successful things we've done. And the run up to it was very challenging with injuries, in particular to Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, and had to make a lot of changes. And then coming out of All Out, again, a lot of changes. We had the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions and some great shows at that time after All Out. And shows in Buffalo and Albany, really strong events that led into AEW Grand Slam, which is maybe our most important TV franchise each year. And at that time, I felt like things were really coming together, and I was really proud how the company had all rallied leading into Grand Slam. And also going into Grand Slam, I had some personal challenges in my life and my family's life. And I was going to tell you about that today. And I don't think 99% of you would have had any idea about any of this. So going into Grand Slam, last year my dad was at Grand Slam, and I was really proud to have him at the event. He was not able to come this year. And the lead into Grand Slam was very challenging for me personally. My mother had a stroke after All Out, before Grand Slam. And my whole family, we were really obviously very, very concerned. And it was a really stressful time for my family. But also, there were a lot of really challenging things happening around the company, AEW, and they needed to be addressed. And so there was just all kinds of stuff happening. And so that's why my dad was not at Grand Slam this year. but everybody came together and the event was tremendous. And following a great Grand Slam, my mother had been at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, and they weren't really able to figure out why she had the stroke. And that was pretty scary. And, they actually had let her go home, and they said they would, keep doing tests and stuff. And we had this strong run of ratings in AEW, and I kept plowing ahead at work. And it was at the week after Grand Slam, we had another great show, I thought, but Hurricane Ian reared its head, but we still came damn close to hitting that million number we go for every week, and stuff at home with my family. My mom was home, so that was really positive, but obviously we're all still really concerned. And then the following week, we went out to celebrate the 3-year anniversary of AEW Dynamite on TBS. And then my mom had a second stroke. And now we've gone from incredibly worried to just panicked as a family. And so there's just so many things happening at this time. And this was right around my 40th birthday, which was probably about as low key of a 40th birthday as you could have. I watched Monday Night Football at my parents' house with my parents. My mom was hooked up to a lot of machines, and I was just praying that my mom's surgery would go okay. And that same night, I got a phone call, and it was saying that William Regal had approached Mega and said that, and it was all very legitimate, valid stuff. Basically, he's got a son who works in another wrestling promotion, and he really wanted us at the end of the year, when we had the option to renew his contract, he was asking that we would nothing bad. We're having a great time working together, but that this is an opportunity for him to go back and work in these really golden years of his career with his son and do things he likes to do, coaching, and he's got friends that he would like to go back and coach with. And it's a very complex situation for AEW because he's a huge part of what we're doing on screen, and we really value him, and there's multiple storylines that he's involved in at this point. And as we were going to Toronto that week, obviously I had a lot on my mind. And after the second stroke, they found my mom had a spot on her heart. And so I'm probably doing a bad job with the medical explanation of it, but they said that if they could remove the spot from her heart, then that was the best chance we had to stop the strokes from happening. And through this whole thing, my sister and my dad, I mean, they were heroes in this whole thing. And my sister especially is like the hero of this thing. She was there as much as she possibly could have been at my mom's side. And I went and spent as much time as I could every night in the hospital. And so it was, as we went to Toronto, my mom was going down to have that surgery. And obviously there were other things happening too in the world of wrestling that were really important. And this was the timing of the request from Regal, and I had really had to think about it. And both those shows in Toronto were very successful. And then at the end of the week, my mom had this heart surgery. And when I got back, my dad and my sister had already been there at the hospital since the previous day. And that weekend, which would be, I think, the 14th, 15th, 16th, I went in. I watched Rampage in my mom's hospital room that Friday night with her as she was sleeping. And I definitely think I tweeted I was watching Rampage with my mom, although nobody would have known what that meant. And there was a lot to think about here. And we had a Jags game that weekend against the Indianapolis Colts. And my mom's recovering from a major operation that she just had, which had gone, thankfully, really well. but it is a really challenging recovery. And so I came back from Toronto, and we're all just really grateful. My mom had, you know, was making it through this operation, and she was in good condition, but it was a long road ahead. And so if I thought my mom was hooked up to a lot of machines before, you know, I got back, and good Lord, there's just dozens of machines. But when I got back, my family was pretty exhausted, and I kind of tagged in, and then I found myself spending the nights in the hospital, and they were spending the days there. And we played the Indianapolis Colts that weekend, and I went to Indianapolis and then flew back. And then I went back to the Mayo Clinic on the Sunday night. I think that's October 16th, I want to say. And, you know, again, my dad, my sister, and my mom's best friend, they've been there a lot and during the days, and I was trying to spend the nights there. And my mom was asleep, and I got a message from Regal, and it was asking if we could talk. And I made time to talk to him, and I went outside the hospital. And so I'm sitting out on a park bench out in front of the Mayo Clinic on Sunday night, and we had this really long, good talk, and it was very positive. And he really had, I think, good intentions, I'd like to say, for why he wanted to go back. And it made a lot of sense to me that he would want to work with his son and be with his son. And he said to me, honestly, and it made sense, you know, given where you're sitting right now, does it make sense to you that I would want to go back and be with my son? And at that point where I was sitting, yeah, it really did make a lot of sense to me. And frankly, the last thing I wanted to do at that moment was prevent any parent and any child, any son from being together. As I was sitting on a park bench at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, you know, while my mom was sleeping inside and recovering from a major operation. And so I told him, you know, I do think, I don't know how we're going to do it yet. I'm going to have to do a lot of thinking. It's going to require more changes. I referenced earlier, there's been a lot of that this year, that we've tried to make the best of everything. And I really do believe we've been able to have great events through it all. You know, there were a lot of changes going into Forbidden Door, but I thought it was one of the best pay-per-view shows of the year. There were a lot of changes going into Full Gear, but really I thought it was one of the best events of the year. And it was the start of a new period for AEW. And I had to think about that. But I also had to think about family, and given that's, you know, where I was at and where he was at, it made a lot of sense that we would try to accommodate him and that request. As I was sitting there, you know, praying that my mom was going to be able to recover from this major operation she just had that weekend. And given where I found myself and given where he was, I just thought it made sense maybe that I would not exercise that option here. So I said I would consider it and started working on changes, and it's basically another complete overhaul. And like I said, we had made major changes going into Forbidden Door. We made major changes coming out of All Out, going into Grand Slam. But these were really successful periods for us. Forbidden Door, it wasn't the smoothest run in, but it ended up being an amazing show. All Out coming out of it is probably the most successful period of TV we've had this year, and there were so many great shows there. With great matches in Albany and Buffalo leading into Grand Slam. And then coming out of that, some great matches in Philly and an awesome three-year anniversary show in D.C. And I was really proud of what we did in Toronto. And then after that call with Regal, we had Title Tuesday. And from then on, you know, we made changes to get to Full Gear and through Full Gear as strong as possible. And I thought Title Tuesday was a great show. To say we leaned into things with Regal and MJF would be an understatement, but I think that was a real life situation too. And that 20-minute promo was outstanding. It was tremendous storytelling, I think. And again, it set a table for a different direction that helped us get to where everyone wanted to be. Later that week, we had Rampage live at Daly's Place in Jacksonville. And I sat with Regal for over 90 minutes in my office afterwards. And this is probably the longest one-on-one in-person talk I've ever had with him. And, you know, we talked, and I told him I'll make major sacrifices to this company to do the best thing for you and your family, because this is a family first company. And the person I'm releasing, you know, later this month, who's still with us, I think it's fair to say, through the holiday, has been an essential part of multiple TV stories and is still an essential part of the TV as of tonight. And we've done a lot of things to help him create the best situation he can for his family. And for me, my mom's doing really well, and we're really grateful. And it's amazing. We just had this great Thanksgiving, and she's doing better. It seems like better and better every day. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful to my dad and especially my sister for being there for every moment of the recovery. And also I'm grateful that it really, I was there a lot, as much as I could be. And it was probably in a lot of ways the most time I spent with my mom this year. And even though I spend a good amount of time with her, and it, you know, where we're at, I thought we had a great pay-per-view show. And now for Lord Regal, I'm wishing him the best, and he knows I wish him the best. And we've had conversations even this week, and he's, you know, I think he's grateful for what I did, but also I know he enjoyed his time here, and I've enjoyed the time with him. And it's hard to see him go, but it was a challenge to arrive in a place where we were able to make it compelling, and he's not gone yet. Now we're going into Wednesday Night Dynamite tonight, and a big week with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And, you know, in pro wrestling, you have people butting heads in the ring and also backstage. And it took a lot of hard work to get to where we are. In the end, like I said, Full Gear was an incredible success for this company commercially and critically. You know, it's one of our best pay-per-view shows we've had. And this year we've had a lot of great shows. Despite challenges, we've been able to keep the company strong throughout the year. And, you know, in the end, there's a lot of happy endings here. And I'm most happy that my mom is doing better. And that whole situation probably led me to a place where I had a better understanding of the reasons why Lord Regal would want to be in a place where he could work with his son as much as he wants and be with family. And I probably won't be able to facilitate every family reunion, but I do try to make this a family first company. And especially in this situation, that's what we've done. And, you know, there's a lot of exciting things happening in AEW now we could talk about. There's a lot of exciting things happening in Ring of Honor going into Final Battle. And I'm excited to talk about those. And now I can open it up for your questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. Thanks for your time on that. Thanks for your thoughts, for sure. I'm sure everyone really appreciates them. So we're going to start with Stuart Myrick from KTXX-FM, The Horn, in Austin. And we're going to follow Stuart with Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics. Stuart, you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Tony, first of all, thanks for your time. Thoughts and prayers for your family as your mother recovers. Having dealt with that myself with my family, I can attest to the strain that it can put on you. So thoughts and prayers. And oh, by the way, welcome back to Austin.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Quickly, just do you have any updates on the possibility of Ring of Honor returning to television on a weekly basis?
Well, whichever platform it is, I'm really glad you asked me that. It's a very timely question with Final Battle coming up. You know, I've got these two amazing companies, and AEW has always come first and foremost for me, yet Ring of Honor is really important, and I don't want it to take a backseat to anything. I also don't want it to always be the focus of the AEW TV. So after this week, I will really be limiting how much Ring of Honor you see on the shows. And going into Final Battle, I you know, there was a good amount of Chris Jericho and Claudio's story, but a lot of the other Ring of Honor champions or the Ring of Honor matches, some of them have been on Rampage or even at times Elevation and Dark, and doing things using our other platforms like streaming YouTube and things like that. So for the future of the TV, I'll address it after Final Battle. It's a really good question, and I think let's get through a really big week, starting with Dynamite tonight on TBS, Rampage Friday on TNT, and then obviously Final Battle this weekend. And I think it's something I would like to address, and it's a good question that you asked, but I'm going to punt it to Saturday, and then I can talk a little bit more about it there if it's okay. Thank you for asking and setting the table for Saturday.
Thanks, Stuart. Okay, as promised, I'm going to call on Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics, and Joel Torres from Contralona will follow Brandon. Brandon.
Hi, Tony. First, I want to extend best wishes to you and your family.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Also, I was wanted to ask you about the Rampage ratings. The rating on Friday was a new low, but it's just sort of a data point in a wider trend. I was wondering if you could talk about what you think the reason is. Has promoting Ring of Honor on Rampage played a role in that, and what can you do to improve ratings?
I definitely definitely am looking to put strong matches on Rampage. I think we'll have a big card this week. And, with the depth of the roster, I think now it's a time for me to really put all hands on deck to put the strongest shows I can on Friday. And I always try to listen to the feedback from the fans. So going forward, I'm going to try to put things on the Friday show that I think will have the best chance to bring in that audience. So I'll look back at what has historically done really well, because we've had a lot of good history of shows that have done well on Friday. And, there's people that have drawn in those spots, and then look at the people that necessarily haven't drawn as much in those spots, and what can I do to help those people? And on the other hand, probably what can I do to put the show in the best position, utilizing people that have a history of drawing well on that show.
Appreciate it, Brandon. Joel Torres from Contralona is next, and then I'm going to follow Joel with a write-in question from Max Evert from Sportskeeda Wrestling. Joel.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Tony. How are you? First of all, I lost my dad a few months ago through via cancer, and I can relate with you right now, so I'm wishing all the best for you and your family, all right?
Thank you very much.
My question is,
I'm very sorry for your loss. And thank you. Thank you for saying that for me. I'm sorry for your loss. And, thankfully my mom's doing a lot better, but I'm sorry you've been through that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, really. My question is about Latin America. You guys started to present AEW shows on Canada. Now you will go on 2023 to the United Kingdom. What about Latin America? Is that something that you have in plans in the near future? Thank you.
It's a great question. And it's something, we've just upped our international presence in the past year on TV and streaming. And we made our first international trip to Canada this year. And next year we've announced we'll be going to London. And certainly there are great Latin American markets where I think AEW would have a lot of potential, and it's something we'll definitely consider going forward. I don't have a date or anything circled for that, but it's certainly something we have talked about and would consider. So far we've obviously only done one international loop, and next year it's definitely something we're going to hopefully look to do more of, although I don't have an exact date, or I can't promise it would be next year, but certainly it's the kind of thing we'll be looking at.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joel. I've got a question here from Max Evert from Sportskeeda Wrestling. I'm going to read, and then Joey Hayden from the Dallas Morning News will follow. Tony, it's pretty simple. Can we expect Ring of Honor to run their own international events in the future? As others have.
Well, that's also a good question. I believe Ring of Honor actually has done more international stuff than AEW. I've actually gone to see Ring of Honor in England before as a fan years ago. So, you know, Ring of Honor probably has had more in their, Ring of Honor has been around for over 20 years. So it has a lot more history and time to have done some of these international tours and things like that. But absolutely, I think Ring of Honor doing international events in the future makes a lot of sense too. Both companies have a great history, although Ring of Honor has been around longer. AEW's probably expanded quicker, I think it's fair to say. And both, I think, companies would do really well touring internationally.
Very good. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Max. Joy Hayden from the Dallas Morning News. You're going to be called upon right away and followed by John Orchiola from Screen Rant. Joey.
There we go. You guys got me?
Yep, got you.
Awesome. Tony, thank you for the explanation to open the presser. Prayers up for you and your family. I actually just had an interview with Athena yesterday about her match on Saturday, and she was hoping that you have an extravagant celebration planned for her at her hometown show in Garland at Winter is Coming after she wins the Ring of Honor women's title. What have you sort of seen from her since she joined AEW, and what do you think the future holds for her?
I am incredibly impressed with Athena. And while I can't say that all of us AEW officials condone her recent conduct, I would say that it has made really compelling television. And I think she has reached another level in the past several weeks. In the past couple months, I think she's taken her game to another level. And this aggressive side of Athena you're seeing, I really like it. I think it is compelling TV, and she's a great talent, and I think she's doing her best work in AEW right now, and she's facing a wrestler in Mercedes Martinez, who's somebody who in both AEW and Ring of Honor has been a great champion for Ring of Honor and a formidable presence, and really one of the most respected veterans in the locker room in AEW. So it's going to be a great match, and I think there's an issue of respect here because Athena has not shown respect to the other wrestlers, respect to the people in that locker room, and now Mercedes Martinez is back to really fight a locker room bully. And it's going to be a very compelling situation. Should be a great match at Final Battle on Saturday afternoon. And Athena, I think, is, tremendous. And in particular right now, she's just doing great for us.
Thank you very much, Joey. John Orchiola from Screen Rant, you are up next. Amy Nemedy from Wrestle Joy will follow John. John.
John, you need to unmute your line. John, if you hit the red microphone on the dashboard. John must be having problems.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and jump to Amy? And then we can try John a little bit. Amy, are you there?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. First, thoughts to your family. Thank you so much for being so open and sharing that with all of us. Glad to hear that your mother is doing much better now. I was going to ask about Athena and Mercedes. However, since that's been covered, I'll go ahead and move to Juice Robinson and Samoa Joe for the ROH Television Championship. Samoa Joe is arguably one of the strongest ROH champions, and he's pitted against a man of incredible versatility in Juice Robinson. I'd like to know what your expectations are for this match, and also if Juice wins, could we see this championship carried on an international stage, potentially with something like New Japan?
I absolutely think that there's a connection between Ring of Honor and New Japan. It goes back long before I was involved with either company, frankly. And at one point, it was a relationship I would have liked to have interjected myself into. And now I find myself sitting in the captain's seat between the two companies. And it's really something to consider. I think Juice Robinson has a great history in New Japan, obviously. He's a former U.S. champion. He's got great wins in New Japan over some of the biggest wrestlers on the planet. And I do think he's a potential great TV champion for Ring of Honor. And if he were to win the match, I think he could defend the title potentially not only in Ring of Honor or at times in AEW. Although, like I said, I am trying to not have quite as much focus on Ring of Honor on the AEW shows to make sure I get it all the focus on all the AEW stuff, too. But there's a time and a place for that. And certainly, that's something to consider. And yes, if Juice, wins the Ring of Honor World TV title, I think it would be something to consider that he could do title matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Which is, again, our relationship with New Japan is very strong. And that's something else I could probably talk more about on Saturday, you know, as we're covering Ring of Honor stuff. So it's a great question. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. I'm going to do a write-in question here from Kimmy Sokol from the Pop Break. And after I read it and Tony responds, we'll try John again, John Orchiola from Screen Rant. So John will be on deck after this question here from Kimmy. With her extensive work with the Ring of Honor's women's division, do you plan on using Maria Kanellis Bennett in a backstage capacity?
We talked about that, and I have had good discussions with Maria about her own women's wrestling army and some of the different wrestlers out there, and she's got a great eye for the talent, and she's very knowledgeable about wrestling, and in particular, women's wrestling personnel. So it's something we talk about on a pretty regular basis, actually.
All right. Kimmy, there you have it. John, we're going to try John Orchiola again, and then following John will be Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone. John?
Hang on here. Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, good. So, sorry about that, technical difficulties. Tony, first of all, my best wishes to you and your family, and my prayers as well. I wanted to ask about... Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask about Jade Cargill. On January 5th, she hits 1 year as TBS champion, and she's been a great star and a great attraction for AEW. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about her run, any future plans for her, and if you see her as AEW's version of Roman Reigns or even Mandy Rose.
Well, I see Jade as her own great star, and I have so much respect for Jade. I'm excited that she'll be in action tonight. It'll be a bit of a personal situation as she's taking on her former baddie, her former employee, Kiera Hogan, in a trios match where Kiera is teaming up with Madison Rayne and Sky Blue, who have been really positive forces in the women's locker room, taking on a trio of baddies, Jade Cargill with her baddies, Red Velvet, and of course, Layla Gray. And should be a great match, but also, you know, great to see a little bit more of what to develop with Jade. Of course, we saw Bow Wow interject himself in her celebration last week. Jade is such a great champion for us, and she has so much star power. She has that crossover star appeal. And, you know, when Jade goes out carrying the AEW TBS championship to mainstream places like big sporting events, everybody takes notice. And I've been there to see it firsthand and seen how people gravitate towards her. Even people who aren't wrestling fans become interested in wrestling when they see someone with so much charisma and such a unique stage presence as a champion representing a company. So I have a lot of respect for Jade, and I think Jade's a great champion for AEW.
Very good. Thanks, John. Thanks for hanging in there. Bill Pritchard from the Russell Zone is next, and I'm going to follow Bill with a write-in from Jim Barcelone from the Miami Herald. Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon to you.
Hey, I'm glad to hear things are looking up at home, and I appreciate you sharing that with everybody.
Thank you, man.
So a new name, a new face that showed up last week, Shane Taylor. I'll keep it short and sweet. What took so long, and is he under contract?
Well, I don't want to get into contractual status typically, but I was excited to have him here. And obviously, he's been a great champion in Ring of Honor, and there's a lot of great wrestlers in Ring of Honor, and we have a great roster here in AEW. And now, as we're doing more Ring of Honor events, I've looked to bring in people that have had success in Ring of Honor and also people that have had success all over the world and tried to build a new, exciting version for going into Final Battle. And I think that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing at Final Battle, is seeing former partners colliding. And then how does that play into Keith Lee's current partner drama? He's got part drama with his current partner, Swerve Strickland, and he's got a former partner in Shane Taylor who wants some payback and some resolution. And Shane Taylor's got another former partner. There's JD Griffey. So it's a family affair. It should be very exciting at Final Battle to see Shane Taylor now in this new Ring of Honor. And so, you know, to be fair, it hasn't been that long since, you know, that we've been doing these Ring of Honor shows. It's only my third pay-per-view and third full Ring of Honor event. But Shane Taylor is somebody, you know, from the beginning, it's been a good name we'd consider. And I think when the situation with Keith Lee came up, it was actually Keith Lee, when we were talking about ideas, Keith Lee brought it up to me, and I thought it was a great idea. And, you know, I think when people have good ideas like that, I want to support them. And so I thought Keith had something there.
Very good. Thanks, Bill. I've got a real quick question here from Jim Barcelone, and after you respond, Tony, Dom D'Angelo from Ad Free Shows will be next. Jim asks, are the creative teams different between AEW and Ring of Honor?
There is a lot of crossover in the people that help me with both things. I mean, I am the head of both creative teams and generating a lot of the content. And I work with a lot of the same people. There are a few people that are different on the different sides. A few people in the coaching that do the coaching in AEW, but not in Ring of Honor, and vice versa. And so that's, you know, that's probably a big difference. And, there's, you know, some different announcers, different production team, but there's definitely some crossover in the people too.
Very good. Thank you, Tony. Dom D'Angelo from Ad Free Shows, is going to be next. And then we're going to I'll announce our next, journalist after Dom's question.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hey, okay, good. First off, I want to say prayers for your mom and your family. Thanks for sharing all that. My question for you today is, a lot of something the wrestling fans appreciated too, especially when AEW started, and is the inclusion of legends into the product. So you've had, like, you know, names from Ricky Steamboat to the Rock and Roll Express to Greg Valentine sitting in the crowd. And I could go on too. Dory Funk showed up. But two guys that really stood out earlier on were Arn Anderson and Jake Roberts. I remember their, like, confrontation in the ring and everything like that. Both of them still under contract and both still big personalities and legends. Both have also expressed how much they love the company and would love to be a part of the product and stuff like that. Would we possibly see them get more involved as the product carries on, whether that's in AEW or ROH?
Yeah, I would like to utilize them. I think more content, more hours, and Ring of Honor now potentially can be a part of that expansion with in addition to the 3 hours of, you know, Dynamite and Rampage we do each week, with weekly Ring of Honor, potentially coming out of Final Battle is something I'd like to talk more about. And right now, with the 3 hours of TV we have, plus Dark and Elevation, and our pay-per-view events, our countdown shows, that's the bulk of our content. And there's such a great roster here. There's so many great people to present. And now coming out of, Final Battle, like I said, I'll address what we're going to do with Ring of Honor, but also, great names like Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson. They are great mentors for some of the young talent here, but at any given time when the situation is right, and either of them could flop back on TV at any given time. So that's what's great about having a little bit of rotation and being able to bring people in. It's something I really talked about from the beginning of AEW, but then when I've done it in practice, at times people have gotten a little restless, but it is something we always said we were going to do, is flop people in and out to keep people fresh at times and not necessarily have every single person do a run on TV, all year, every week.
I appreciate it there, Dom. I've got a write-in here from Issa Ramos. And Issa asked the following question. Can you share with us your thoughts on FTR's run as Ring of Honor tag team champions and why they're not featured in this card?
Oh, it's a great question. Thank you. I should have let off or talked more about that sooner. So I have a great, great appreciation for FTR. A lot of the card shuffling that has happened this year, through zero fault of their own, they have been involved in a number of matches and stories that got thrown off because of people, the various times where there have been people not around. And in particular, there's been even injuries that have stopped that. And I think there was no secret. I talked at length about at the forum when CM Punk broke his foot, and it really affected months of story for FTR and things we changed, but they weren't the same as what they were going to be. And it's hard to replace that part of it when you have a big name like that. And especially the connection that we had with CM Punk and FTR. So I think a lot of things more than one time this year have changed for them, but they've rolled with the punches and been great. What I have to say about FTR is tonight is a really big night for them. And I'm glad you asked that, because it'll let me segue into some stuff I was going to make as closing remarks if nobody asked about it. This whole thing that I talked about earlier, in particular stuff with my mom, it's been a really hard year. And those guys have been really supportive. And they've also had, challenges in their own personal lives, but also they wrestle so hard. And they want to be on TV and they want to wrestle every week. And I think I want to use them, and the fans want to see them. With them being all over the world, there's been times where, I've had stuff for them that's had to change because of either a commitment to another organization. There's been times where I've had stuff change for them because of, their partner not being out injured. Now we've got this huge opportunity tonight. And the stuff I was talking about before also, that, in relation to my personal life, my family, I am today, I kid you not, guys, I am truly filled with the Christmas spirit. This is, to my family, like the biggest Christmas miracle, that my mom came out of this okay, because it was a really scary situation. And from the uncertainty we had, say weeks ago and especially months ago, it's come so far and it's been so great. And nobody loves Christmas more than my mom. Really, truly, nobody loves Christmas more than my mom. So starting tonight through the holiday season, there's going to be a lot of Christmas on the show. And a lot of Christmas spirit. And in relation to those guys, I have to say, with FTR, what they've done this year is pretty remarkable. They have been world champions already in three different companies, Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and AAA. They've defended those belts all over the world while also competing at a high level in AEW. And Dax has also been moonlighting as a great singles wrestler for us. And they want to do more. They want to do much more, and people want to see them do more. And I think it's great. Going into tonight, first of all, something I meant to say at some point in this call, and now this will be my segue into it. I feel like Bill Murray in Scrooged, like I have a new lease on life, on wrestling, on everything. And they're a big part of it. And so now they happen to be facing two guys that have also been a huge part of, again, this really this a period with a lot of changes in AEW, but also in my own life, a lot of changes and difficult things, and that's the Acclaim. And they've been, one of the greatest homegrown success stories in the history of AEW. Tonight is a really important night for AEW because you have the AEW World Tag Team Champions, the acclaimed wrestling FTR. They're the former AEW World Tag Team Champions, but they also hold most of the other World Tag Team titles in the world. So you have all this gold out there, and it's a match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, which we're putting first and foremost tonight. And I'm just so excited for these two teams to get to wrestle. We've been teasing it for a while, and it's funny because I guess maybe it's been maybe people haven't picked up on it, but I feel like they have, because when I've seen it, certainly the crowds have reacted when they've seen FTR and the Acclaim out there together. And you know, they had a great 8-man tag where they were partners several weeks ago, and then following up on that, there was a tease last week on Dynamite that the Acclaimed were going to announce really who they thought they should wrestle, the best team, or in their words, the second best team, I guess, if they think they're the best team. But they were looking for the best possible challengers, and that led us to FTR, and that was last week on Rampage. And you know, I think one thing I can do for Rampage is, by having stuff like that, compelling segments that make a difference and really are very impactful and important in AEW, you know, by consistently doing things like that on Rampage, that is one thing I can do to really strengthen the show by having consequential segments like that. And that was a very consequential segment. So now coming out of that, it's official. It's going to be FTR versus the Acclaim for the championship tonight. And FTR, they will definitely be holding at least three tag team championships coming out of tonight. Potentially, they could also be the AEW World Tag Team Champions after this match, but the Acclaimed are going to have something to say about that. So you asked me about Final Battle. Well, I would say that, FTR, it's fair to say they are the MVPs of these first two Ring of Honor pay-per-views. Where are they? Where is their match? Well, I think it's very fair to let them get through this match tonight. Let's see where they end up coming out of this match with, and let's see where we end up with the best possible match we can put on Final Battle, given the circumstances. And so we're going to focus on tonight on Dynamite. And like I said, I'm excited for the show. I'm excited to kind of kick off the Christmas season tonight on AEW Dynamite on CBS. Which hopefully nobody will have any need for Hallmark on these Wednesday nights, and they'll get all their fill of Christmas on AEW. And in all seriousness, FTR, I just have so much great stuff to say about both of them, as you can probably tell. And now it's a big night tonight for them. Then when we get out of that, we'll focus on Final Battle.
Thank you, Tony. Okay, we're hitting the stretch run here. So we're going to go with David Bixenspan from Babyface vs. Heels, and follow that with the write-in from Steve Fall of 10 Count. David, are you ready to go?
Hey, Tony. Obviously, I want to start by giving my best wishes to your mom and the rest of your family.
Thank you, Bix. I really appreciate that, Bix. And thank you very much for doing that. And that means a lot. Thank you. And also, you've really entertained me this week, separately from that, with your AI contribution. That's good stuff.
Thank you. want to follow up with something on what he said about the Regal thing. So since there had been some rumors of some of the active wrestlers who have spouses in WWE wanting releases to go work with them under the new regime, I feel like kind of an obvious question to ask is Regal's release conditional on him not appearing as talent, or is it an unconditional release?
That's a really great question. The way I believe it is written is that after this year, he would be able to go back and coach. But I believe we have it written that he would not be appearing on screen next year. So that is a very fair question. And so I wouldn't expect to see him as an on-screen person next year. Honestly, given the spirit of the thing and how accommodating we were being, I was really surprised by the tweet with the supercut of him on it, especially since he's still been with us and a part of the shows. And as I go into Wednesday Night Dynamite tonight, we're still addressing him on tonight's show. And, you know, going into last week's show especially, I mean, it's a very big part of our show. So I was a little surprised by the supercut of him on Triple H's Twitter. And I didn't really, given how accommodating we're being to the whole thing, I was not necessarily expecting to see that. And, I didn't necessarily think it was in the spirit of how accommodating we were being about the whole thing, but whatever. The important thing is that it's a situation that will be resolved, and, you know, he will be able to be there and do the coaching and work with his son and the stuff that's important to him that he said. And he was completely cool and very okay with the idea that it would be a release where he would not be appearing on TV next year. And you asked me about other people in the same situation. I think I kind of referred to that earlier. I can't necessarily facilitate every family reunion, but in this circumstance, given where I was at in my own life and where he was at with this, it made sense to me what he was asking.
Thanks, Vic. Thanks, Tony. I've got Steve Fall from Tenk. I've got a write-in from him. I'm going to follow with a write-in from Daniel Kuchler following from the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Steve's question, Tony, is rather simple. What about adding some more pay-per-views to the AEW calendar? Is that something that we can maybe look forward to in 23?
That's a great question. I have certainly not locked in anything like that yet, but I do think it's a good question. And right now we've had a great year. We've had the biggest year we've ever had on pay-per-view. And it makes sense why you'd ask that, because Forbidden Door was such a successful launch. And then we also had great numbers at All Out and Full Gear. And if you can add a fifth pay-per-view to the calendar and still have these kinds of numbers, it obviously would bear the question in a business meeting, what is the right number? Is five the perfect number, what we have now? Is there potential for more pay-per-view events? What is the future of them? It's a great question. And that's, you know, exactly the kind of thing we would talk about in a confidential business meeting that I probably couldn't talk about here. But I would say that, you know, there's the success of the pay-per-views this year certainly, you know, makes you wonder if there's anything to that. But I also would say that, you know, if you're going to quote me on that, please don't omit the back end of this quote, which is that I really think that one of the great things about AEW has been the emphasis we put on making the events we do have very special, and we've built them up as such. And so I don't want to oversaturate the market either. So finding that balance with the perfect number, is it what we have right now with five? Maybe, I don't know, it could be. So that's a great question you've asked.
Okay, so here we go. This is the last question, Tony. It's a write-in, and it's from Daniel Kuchler from the Social Suplex Podcast Network. And it is, how close has the evolution of Ring of Honor been to what you originally envisioned? Have there been anything that's, you know, sort of what you expected, anything thrown you off? You just what's your view on that?
It's a great question. There's been a few things that have been a little different than what I thought, maybe. I overall am really pleased
and it's been beyond all projections a success. The pay-per-view events we've already had this year have both more than doubled projections. So on this pay-per-view now, I was really playing with house money, so to speak, because the first two were so far ahead on projections, and it affords us the opportunity to experiment and try some things. We've never done an afternoon pay-per-view before. There's a lot of competition on Saturday night, and we thought it would be interesting to see, you know, is there a market for Saturday afternoon pay-per-view rather than do it with the huge gross earnings of Revolution or Double or Nothing or Forbidden Door or All Out or Full Gear. I thought it would make sense to try this. This is, you know, I'm very excited for Final Battle. And in talking about Final Battle, I don't think you can talk about this event without talking about Chris Jericho and this Ring of Jericho run he's been on. And I think that Chris Jericho as a Ring of Honor champion has brought a lot of attention to the company. And now it's also, frankly, led to one of the most exciting in-ring runs of Chris Jericho's career, which is, you know, pretty amazing over 30 years that you look at this and that it holds up as such a strong run of matches for somebody who has had one of the most prolific careers I've ever seen in pro wrestling. And the kinds of matches he's had against a variety of great opponents, what, you know, winning the championship from Claudio Castagnoli and defending it in Toronto against Bryan Danielson, but also all these great opponents, former champions of Ring of Honor, including Bandido and Tomohiro Ishii. Both those were just classic matches, I thought, Bandido and Ishii. And put that on top of the run Chris is having throughout 2022, you know, whether it was wrestling John Moxley at Quake by the Lake or taking on Eddie Kingston at Revolution or his part of the Anarchy in the Arena match, which was maybe the best match in all of pro wrestling this year. I think this Ring of Jericho run is amazing. And it's the first time Chris Jericho has ever taken part in a Ring of Honor event. But you also have to look at the way he's carried himself in Ring of Honor and the way he's disrespected the legacy and the 20-year history of the company. It's you know, it's a conflict. And Claudio Castagnoli, you know, I've spoken a lot about how we're all affected. And I think that he's somebody who's been affected as much as anybody by the departure of Lord Regal. And now going forward, I think tonight with Claudio wrestling tonight, you know, we'll see how he's affected by this, but also there's high stakes on this match. You know, what is the future of the Blackpool Combat Club? And if Claudio loses this match, what is his future in pro wrestling or sports entertainment? You know, Chris Jericho has said if Claudio can't beat him, Claudio is coming to join the Jericho Appreciation Society, which would be a sight to see Claudio and Jake Hager reunited. Tonight, we'll see them lock up in a tag match on Dynamite on TBS, but could they potentially be partners again? It's an interesting scenario. There's a lot of interesting things on Final Battle. And one of the many interesting things about the show will be trying an afternoon pay-per-view and seeing if there's merit to it or not. But it'll be interesting to learn it. And I think one of the things we're going to learn will be what is the future of Ring of Honor? And is it going to, will we continue on in this Ring of Jericho run, or is Claudio going to save the company, or is something else going to happen? There's a lot of ways it could go. And, you know, people, like I said, people would want to know about what FTR will be doing. Well, I think the number one match they have on their plate right now is the AEW World Tag Team Championship. And I think it emphasizes the kind of responsibility there is when you're carrying World Tag Team Championships from several different companies around the world and then challenging for, you know, what I believe is the most prestigious tag team championship on the planet, the AEW Tag Team Championship tonight on TBS. So there's a lot to address still going into Final Battle, but I think hopefully we've covered a good amount, and we'll cover more tonight on TBS and on Friday on Rampage. And then, as I said, after Final Battle, I can talk to you a little bit more about how the future of Ring of Honor is going to go. And one thing I feel really, really good about is the present and future of AEW. And I really appreciate everybody being on to talk about it today. And we'll see what happens tonight on AEW Dynamite on TBS. But, you know, there's a lot of personal stuff on this call. And, you know, just I really appreciate a lot of the sentiments people have expressed. I've already gotten a lot of messages while I've been on the phone here with you from people who had no idea about any of this stuff. And, you know, I really just very grateful to my family and how everybody pulled together in a challenging time, especially my sister and my dad, and rallying around my mom. And I'm so proud of my mom and how she's kicked out of this thing. And I'm really excited about the rest of this year and going into 2023 for AEW. Thank you very much. And Jim and Mandy, anything to say before we wrap this?
No, I think we appreciate you beginning and concluding this session with the reporters with those sentiments about your mom, Tony. And thank you for that. Thank you for being as accessible and as expressive as you are. I'm sure everybody here online appreciates that very, very much. So with that, everybody, we are at the end of our time. As always, look for an audio recording of today's session hitting your inbox, you know, a little bit here later on today. And again, we really, really appreciate your time and your interest. Hope to see you in Arlington this weekend for Final Battle. If not, I hope to see you somewhere down the line soon. And we all wish you from All Elite Wrestling a great holiday season. We're due it after a couple of years of the pandemic. We're kind of coming out of it last year at this time. This feels really good. I'm sure Tony would agree that we have a lot to celebrate, be thankful for, and grateful for during these holidays. So thank you very, very much, everyone. And we'll see you hopefully in Arlington.